first reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
The second reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through to 17. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He did not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.' People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.'"
Well, a few years ago now, a mum named Melissa in Sydney cancelled Christmas at her house. This photo that you see, that was taken about a month later, because you see, her children aged 11, 8 and 6 were off the rails. They were full on. I won't go into the details, but she was threatening all sorts of things, taking presents, cancelling Christmas. None of it seemed to be working, so in the end, she did it. All the decorations went away. The Christmas tree was packed away. The presents, gone. Kids didn't quite believe it, didn't think she'd follow through. But on Christmas morning, the kids got up, they walked down the hall, lots of whispering going on. Melissa even heard one of them say in a whisper, "Do you think that they've hidden the presents?" No, there was nothing. No presents, no laughter that Christmas. That sounds pretty full on, doesn't it? I can see some kids' faces are looking very horrified right now. But you know what? Melissa's not the only one who kind of has this way of sort of threatening, well, if you're not good, well-behaved, you're not nice, there'll be consequences. I mean, let's face it, that's the whole Santa thing, isn't it? Santa's naughty list. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And in fact, there is an official website that you could go to, the North Pole's Department of Christmas Affairs, where you can put in your name and and know which list are you on. Apparently, this website uses the Global Behaviour Tracking Network, or I believe the latest trend is Elf on the Shelf. Anybody know about that one? Yeah, apparently reporting every night back to the North Pole. Some shenanigans going on there. But it's all because he's making a list and he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. It sounds more of a threat than a good thing. And then it really ramps up in the song, doesn't it? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. And the final plea, so be good, for goodness sake. It's all about Santa's naughty list, isn't it? In Japan, Santa, the tradition is that he has eyes in the back of his head, so he misses nothing. But actually traditionally, those on the naughty list, what did they receive from Santa? Does anybody? Coal, that's right, a lump of coal. Can't be anything worse, can there, really? Well, many cultures traditionally have had their own version of the bad Santa idea. You'll see three of them represented here. The first very ghastly one on your left-hand side, the goat-looking creature is Krampus, and he comes from Germany. And Krampus accompanies Santa. He carries sticks in order to be able to beat the naughty children and then carry them off to heaven. But if you cross over another border and you go to Austria, you'll find Frau Percher. And she's a little bit more balanced. She will give a silver coin to put in your cloak if you're good, but if you're found to be bad, she will slit your belly and stuff it with straw and rocks. And then, of course, you want to head to Iceland at this particular time, and you will encounter the giant Yule Cat. The Yule Cat apparently hunts down people who do not have their new Christmas clothes on. I don't really get that one, but apparently there was a bit of a time when the wool trade was struggling, and so that's where it came from. Look, whether it's Santa's naughty list, elves on a shelf, or these very strange creatures, it really points to a deeper belief. A deeper belief that's actually not just about the 25th of December, but actually every day of life. What is this deeper belief? Well, it's this. That it's only by being good you'll receive good things. Or good things will happen to you. Or maybe even if you put it in the positive spin. When I'm good, when I'm a good person, then I will get the good things, or good things will happen to me. I've just got to be a good person. In fact, this is such a common belief that we operate with. It's not just something that we look to for ourselves. It's how we treat one another. If you do good to me, then I will give you good things. That's sort of the currency of life, isn't it? That's where this all comes from. It's this deeper belief. If I do good, I'll get good. The thing about it is, when it comes to Christmas, people can have that Santa-like thinking about God, that Santa and God are the same. That's how God works. I mean, after all, God's got all those rules, doesn't he? And of course, you're supposed to obey them. And so if you do, then you earn good things. Good works earn good things from God. In fact, we can actually start to think you can do a deal with God. If I do these good things, go to church, give to charity, be a nice person, all those things, well then, God, you must give me the good things and the good life. And we can get a little bit upset when he doesn't. See, this is what happens when we're thinking about living in categories of naughty or nice. Am I naughty or nice? And I think there's actually two options when it comes to how do we actually live this out? And maybe you'll be able to see yourself in one or the other. So the first option for the naughty or nice is to be good, to be a good person. Because you see, people are either naughty or they're nice. There's sort of no grey area, and so you work really hard to make sure you're a nice person, that people look at you and talk about you and think about you as a good person, good character. And so you work really hard to be good, to do the good thing, the good deeds. But it's really hard. In fact, when you're trying to live this way, because you're either one or the other, if you're honest, you get to a point where you realise it's just impossible to always be good and to be good enough. And so one of the things we do is we tend to sort of lower the standard to be something that's a hurdle we can get over. But in the end, what we're really doing is the good person, well, that's kind of like the Mother Teresa. That's what you've got to be. That's the standard. And you'll even see she's got a halo up there. I don't think that was real. But that's how we can kind of think about it. And everything I've got to do, I've got to have my halo on. Can't ever let it slip. And it's hard. So that's option number one. Don't know if you can see yourself there. I want to be good. The second option, usually because we tried the first and it didn't work, or it's sort of a more modern option for us, is the good life. To live a good life. And that's really a bit of naughty and nice thrown in together. So I want to be nice. I want to do good. So it's less about being good and more about doing good. Making a difference in the community, in other people's lives. Giving. Giving to charities and giving of your time to other people. But you can't do that all the time. And so you throw in a little bit of the naughty. I mean, after all, happiness isn't found by keeping the rules, by keeping other people's standards. No, real happiness is found when I can do what I want to do, make myself happy, and not have to be constrained by other people's expectations or what other people need. I mean, giving costs. I want to get. I want to be able to live the good life, and so I mix a bit of the naughty and the nice together. That really looks like the Keanu Reeves version of life. If you're on social media, you know, he's kind of seen as the nice guy. He's always doing these good deeds for other people, but, you know, it's Keanu. He does his own thing as well. He's got his motorbikes and he's an everyday guy. Such is the phenomenon around Keanu that in an article that I read, he had to actually publicly state, and I quote, speaking of himself, obviously, no one is perfect. I'm glad he clarified that up for us all. The trouble with the good life, the mixing, the naughty and the nice, is you're always in conflict. Because we want to be naughty. We want to pursue our own happiness. But I also want to be good. To do good. To be nice. But how much do I have to do of each? In the end, both of them leave us either burdened or conflicted. And when you put God into the picture, well, our frustration, our guilt, it just boils up to, in a sense, denying that God even has the right to put me on the naughty list. How does he get the right to decide? But at the same time, demand. I deserve good things. I deserve the good life from you, God. There's a little video that's going a bit viral this time at Christmas. It's going to come up in a section. This is Jackson, and you can tell pretty quickly he's not pleased about being on the naughty list.
Swear. You are, actually. That's why you're on the naughty list. Well, that's why you're on the naughty list, because you're being naughty right now. So you're going to be on the naughty list if you keep talking like that.
No, because Father Christmas is not being very nice to me.
Because you're being naughty, so you're on the naughty list.
No, I'm not. I'm on the good list, actually.
You're not, because you ain't being good.
I
Father Christmas rang me last night when I was at work and said, you better tell Jackson to start being a good boy or he's going to stay on the naughty list and he won't get no presents for Christmas. That's what he said to me. So you've got to start being a good boy.
You know, we'll do an undercut to it.
You're just silly, man.
You trust me, I'm not on the bad list.
You're on the naughty list, mate.
No, I'm not.
Well, then be a good boy, step.
I love the line, I'll punch his beard off. But if we're honest, that's what we're doing to God when we're saying, no, I'm denying that you can even put me on a list. You don't have the right to do that. But at the same time, I demand, no, you've got to give me the good things. That's Santa thinking. And the good news is it's wrong. God is not like Santa. Let me say that again. God is not like Santa. God offers a gift that the naughty and the nice need. That's the good news of today. See, that's why Jesus told that story that we had read from Luke's account of Jesus' life in chapter 18. It's on the back of the sermon outline there, where he told the story of two men. It gets everybody saying, imagine this. Imagine two men rock up to church one Sunday. One of them is a super religious guy. He's called a Pharisee. And he does all the right things. He's the good guy. And the other guy, he's what's called a tax collector. And he robs from his own people. He betrays his own people. And so he is the classic bad guy. Both of them come to church. And so Jesus says, well, the Pharisee, the religious guy, the good guy, he comes all the way up the front. So confident is he before God that he's good. And in fact, he tells God how good he is. And really, he's basically saying, so God, you should accept me and give me good things. In fact, he says, let me tell you, God, the new standard. It's not yours anymore, it's mine. I'm better than everybody else. That's the standard because that's a hurdle I can get over. Jesus says, but there was another guy. Remember that tax collector? The bad guy? He'll barely come through the back door. And he just stands there, he will not look up, he looks at the floor and he just beats his chest again and again because he's so grieved. He's so grieved because, well, he says, look there at sentence 13. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He knows he's denied that God is the God of his life. He knows that he has demanded God's love, but he hasn't loved God at all. And he knows that he doesn't deserve any good thing from God because of that. Just like us. Because we do the same thing. Tax collector says he's up the back. And he is trusting not in himself. He doesn't come with his hands full of trophies and report cards and religious deeds. No, he's empty and he just says, I can only trust in you, God, because you are the truly good God. You're the merciful God. Did you hear Jesus' verdict at the end of that story? Did you hear how he said, who went home right with God? It's the bad guy. It's the tax collector walked home justified. Now that word means to be declared not guilty. Not guilty before God. That's an incredible thing. Because you see, it's not about the naughty or the nice. It's about God who loves you and me, no matter how bad we've been, no matter what we've done. And that's not because God is kind of like your grandma and just pretends not to see all the bad stuff. No, he truly, as the song says, sees. He sees it all. He sees when we're sleeping and he sees and knows when we're awake and what we do. He sees the hatred in our hearts. The jealousy in our thoughts, the lies and the lusts. He sees it all. So how is it possible that anyone could be declared not guilty? It's because God sent Jesus. If you look at the front of the passage from Luke, a familiar story of being told about Joseph, being told about Jesus. But did you remember what the angel told Joseph to call this baby? It's Jesus. Give him the name Jesus because this is what the name Jesus means. He will save his people from their sins. See, option one and two, when it comes to naughty or nice, being good or having the good life, we fail. But also they fail us. But Jesus gave his life. He gave his life on the cross so he could save our lives. That's how he's our Savior, to save us so we're right with God. It's not about what we give or do. It's about what God gave, and that was Jesus. He is the gift the naughty and the nice desperately need. The great thing is there's no more burden and there's no more conflict when we receive a gift. I mean, after all, there's no place for earning a gift. So if you come like the tax collector, coming before God with empty hands, so you can receive God's gift, the salvation from all of your sins that Jesus made possible on that cross, then you can truly have a great life. See, Christmas is about the gift that the naughty and the nice need. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're not Santa. You love us so much that you give us the gift that the naughty and the nice need. You give us Jesus. And so I pray that you would help each one of us here today to know that we can't and don't need to be nice or good to have the truly good life with you. Instead, help us to admit that we need Jesus. We need him to save us and to trust only in him. Amen. As I said before, if you want to keep thinking and reading a bit more about this, the Naughty or Nice pamphlet will be a great help to you. And of course, we'd love to keep chatting with you, see you at Hope Explored, or to do Word one-to-one with you. And please let us know that you're interested with the QR code.